This is interview number 2, being conducted with Johnny Tillman on April 8, 1991. The first interview was conducted in February of 1983, possibly 1984. This one is being conducted in her home. Interviewer is still Sherna Gluck.
So I wanted to start by just having you talk a little bit about your background, your own family background, your parents, grandparents, what you remember of any of them growing up in Arkansas.
Well, I guess I remember quite a bit about my growing up in Arkansas. I was born in a little place called Scott, Arkansas. It's about 17 miles south of north of Little Rock. And I practically grew up. My father was a farmer, a sharecropper most of the time, and he moved around from place to place wherever he felt like he could get better deals with plantation owners. My mother was married twice, and by her first husband, before my father, she had 2 sons and a daughter. And then she married my father, and she had 2 sons and 2 daughters, but she died from childbirth. And the baby died about 7 months later. So my father raised me and my 2 brothers. My sister and brothers was raised by their father. We knew of each other. We weren't raised together. They lived in the northern part of Arkansas around Little Rock, and my father had moved to the south. So to back up a little bit, I think my mother passed away when I was 5 years old. And because my father married again, and we had a very good stepmother. I started the school.
I'm sorry, what year were you born?
It's in the book. I was born April 10th, 1926. If I live to see Wednesday, it's 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. At 7 o'clock Little Rock time, I'll be 65 years old.
Do you remember your mother?
Vaguely remember my mother. I can't tell you exactly what she looked like, but I know she was a full woman. I can remember that. My father used to tell me if I really wanted to know what my mother looked like to look in the mirror at myself, because he felt I looked just like her. So I went to the fields when I was 7 years old. I was older than my 2 brothers. And they had to put me in the field because I was so bad at home. I was very mischievous. Get into everything. And so they let me take me to the field with me, keep me from messing things up at the house. You know, so I learned to pick cotton. I learned to chop cotton. I learned a lot of things. My father didn't allow me to work in the hay fields with my brother. I didn't have to do that. No men's work, because I wasn't allowed to wear pants or stuff like that. So I did things around the house. I learned to cook, learned to sew. Learned to keep house pretty good, but don't really like it. That wasn't my idea. But I always felt I didn't want to be a housewife, and I didn't want to be no mother. I wasn't interested in being no homemaker. That wasn't my thing. I just had in my mind that when I got to be a big girl, as they say, I like to sing. So I like blues. I was going to be a blues singer, and I was going to travel around. That was what I felt like I wanted to do. Because my people had different ideas from that. My stepmother, who was really a mother, was a church going person, a church worker. I had to go to church all the time. You know, every Sunday was in somebody's church. That's why I don't go to many churches now, because I had plenty of church in my life, you know. So they wasn't about to hear about no blues singer, and, you know, that was the devil's work and that kind of stuff.
Did you have music in the house? Did you
photograph it? Oh, they had the photographs. That's where I learned to sing blues from. And how they got it, I don't know. When I knew anything, it was there. But we had the phonograph, you know, the one you wind up. They had blues records there. They had people singing, you know, playing the piano. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. You had people like Mo Rainey and Bessie Smith and Ethel Waters and in later years they had people like Lil Green and just another one. I can't remember her name. But anyway, those are the kinds of records. I never didn't know where they got the records. Somebody, I assume they bought them, but they were there. And when they wasn't nobody there, I played them. And I learned to sing the records. I remember distinctly I had a playmate, and she had older brothers and sisters, and they were allowed to have records. And I stopped by her house one day after leaving school, and we just played the records while wasn't nobody home. Everybody else was in the field. And I learned these songs. They didn't want me to sing them, but I learned them anyway. And I didn't have to hear them but once or twice, and I could sing them verbatim.
Did you sing in church at all?
A little bit, but not too much. I wasn't really interested in that. I went to church because I had to. I would have much rather been doing something else, but I had to go to church. I couldn't hang out with my brothers.
Well, how old were you when your father remarried?
Oh, right away, because the baby was small. And the lady that he married knew my mother real well and knew us, and who had raised children of her own and had some idea. My father knew nothing about children. I was his first child, and he was 47 years old when I was born. You know, so I think it was a good thing that he found her, because I hear so many stories, sad stories about stepmothers. I did not have that kind of a stepmother. He was a very nice, understanding person. I was mean as hell, but, you know, she stood fast. My brothers didn't know for a while that she was not their mother, because they was much younger than I am. As a matter of fact, they didn't know that she wasn't their mother. I told them one day. They made me mad, so I told them that she was not their mother. You know, and they just cried. But, as I said, I was a mean one. Very mean. I had a...
How so?
I had a inferior complex, I guess. I felt like maybe she was taking my father's attention away from me, not realizing what nothing I could do for my father. You know, I couldn't cook, I couldn't sew, I couldn't do nothing for him. I couldn't do none of those kind of things. I couldn't take care of the boys, you know. There's a lot of things that I don't understand now that I didn't understand then. But she hung in there. She hung in there. So she must have had all kind of problems out of me until I was about 16. Yeah. She might have been about 7 years younger than my father. She was not a... Her baby son was 10 years older than I. He's 10 years old, I am. For a while. Mm. He was in his teens, you know, his teenage boys. They soon went on out on their own. Yeah.
What, did you live in a community, or did you have a place on the land where you were from? Or was there a town that you lived in?
No, we didn't live in a town. I lived in the rural.
Yeah.
I knew what they call the country. We lived out in the country. We had everything. I know nothing about hunger. We had plenty of chickens, we had geese, we had pigs, we had cows. We raised our own garden, we just raised everything. My basic thing I had to do every day was I had to churn the milk. I had chores that I had to do, which I hated at the time, you know, but
Was the milk just for the family, or did you also sell it?
No, they didn't sell the milk, but what they used to do is give it to other folk who didn't have it. It was always somebody lived in the community that had more children. So it was only three of us that come up in the house. And now other people had other large families, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. And they would help them, you know. And rather than pull the milk out that we could use and give it to the pigs or something, they would share it with the other people who didn't have cows. Or sometime if your cow was dry and mine wasn't, then I shared my milk with you until your cow came in, whatever that means, you know.
Remember the house? Did you stay, live in the same house for most of your
life? No. My father moved around quite a bit, but I got a chance to go back to Arkansas in 84. I remember, though, before I left there, I got a chance to see the house that I was born in. When I went back in 84, none of the places that we lived, the houses weren't there anymore. But I remember the spots quite well. I remember all the churches from Little Rock to Pine Bluff that my mother used to attend. And all of those churches still stand and active today except two. Two of them was torn down. And I would tell my husband, I said, go here. We had rented the car. And I would say, go here. It should be a church right here. And I took pictures of them. And I think they're down in the basement somewhere. And he finally asked me one day, he said, did you go to all of these churches? I said, yes, I did. So Mama took me to all of these churches. He said, no wonder you don't like to go to church. You've been to all of these.
Up your whole life.
Yeah, so we had towns, the little towns Pine Bluff was a city, and we used to go there for shopping. And Sherrill's was a small town. If you're not careful, you go right through it before you know it's there. I remember a little town we used to go shopping down called Oratama, Arkansas. And,
How far were you from Scott itself?
Well, time was between where I spent most of my time in Little Rock. Yeah. I've never really lived at Scott. I know where it is. It's a one little one town. Most of those little places were named after plantation owners, you know. So I got a chance to see, went to Scott, and they had one store, and this store, everything was sold from this store. All the people at the plantation used to gather here on Saturdays. This is after I got to be growing up. And they used to have a jukebox out on the big porch. And people come out and dance, and they drank their beer. Weekly or monthly shopping there. They had everything in that store. Mattresses. Mm-hmm. Food, groceries, the post office was over and looked for that store still. They call it trade. At the store. In the Western movies, that's the way life was. You know, part of that stuff you see in Western movies are true because people did their research.
Did you have any connection or any relationship at all with the plantation owners or the family?
No, yeah. And sometimes plantation owners had children who were our age, and we played together down in the country. For the school, they went to their school and I went to mine. A lot of people. you see. So they've always had the big yellow school bus somewhere, you know.
You can see the piece on Thurgood Marshall and the South Carolina bus case on television last night.
No.
It was pretty good. It was about a school. It was about the first case before they took the Topeka case.
Let me see. I remember my mother passed away in October 1931. In 1933, we moved to Sherrill's. We stayed in that vicinity until 1940. That was 1940. And we moved back to England, Arkansas. Stayed in England, at England, outside of England, rather, for, let's see, World War I began this summer. Japanese declared war on the United States December 7, 1941. I still lived in Arkansas, I mean in England. So I moved closer to Little Rock, must have been in January of 42.
So between 31 and 42.
Mm-hmm. We lived in the same vicinity.
But you keep changing.
Not really. I think Daddy must have moved about maybe three times.
Mm-hmm.
Because he changed his line of work. And instead of being a sharecropper, he started what they call renting, where he had his own stock and stuff like that.
Did you like
paint at all
when you stopped?
No, we went to school. I still had to chop and pick the cotton and do the chores at home. Nothing really changed, but he always made sure that we still went to school.
How did you?
Right.
Yeah,
but you went to school. No, I didn't stay out of no school to go to the top of no cotton. No, he never did that. Oh, see, what where they used to do it in that part of the country, most people think that if you went to the field, you didn't go to school. Not in my house. My father was very well educated himself. And you didn't do it like that. You had 9 months of schooling, but it was not straight. You started, you had such you call 2 months of summer school and several months of fall and winter school. So I think we would get through, you get through chopping, what they call a lay-by, must be, you start in May, June, July, and then you don't do anything. So school start at the end of July and go through in September. Then by that time, it's time to pick the cotton. You pick cotton about 2 months and the school starts again in November. And then you go all the way through the spring. So I never was out of school because I had to go to the field, not in my house.
No.
Yeah. My first school I went to, was called, I cannot spell it, but I can remember the name was called Merle Deadman. It was a community named after somebody. The second school I went to was Plumbayo, Plumbayou. And we went by there, I took my husband by there in 84, they had torn the school down. My second school was Hamilton Chapel in England, Arkansas. It's torn down. The last school that I finished in the country was called Martin. That was on Highway 70, right outside of Little Rock. And then I went to high school in North Little Rock, but I had to go to the city to do that.
What were those?
Those were one-room, two-room country schools until I got to high school, which was Doan's High School, was a bona fide high junior high school altogether. It was in the city of Northwood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I always liked school. I was an A student. Except algebra.
Algebra?
Like nobody's algebra. Didn't care too much for English. I thought at that time, I think I not know now that I was wrong. I thought at that time I really didn't have time to go into the English and, you know, the verb and that. As long as you understood what I was saying, I thought that was sufficient enough. So I didn't waste a lot of time on English. Very good in arithmetic, spelling, and I liked it, science quite well. And history, I did very well, but didn't understand why I needed to learn all about white dead folks. Most of my black history came from, it started with my father. My father's mother, his mother's people were some of the last slaves on the ship that docked in South Carolina. They handed the information down to him, and he passed it on to me, which was, I find, quite unusual, because most of the people never talked about their African inheritance to their children. Somehow or another, they looked like they wanted to get away from it. My father didn't have that kind of a father. He was told that the reason his mother and some of her brothers and sisters were born in Arkansas, that her father decided he wasn't going to be whipped anymore by master, and he ran away. And he went back by night and stole his family, but they never got no further than Arkansas, and that's why we were in it up there. There is a book called Black History. It's a rare book. I got a chance to read one thoroughly, but I don't know what happened to the book. So the history I really had was U.S. history and Arkansas history. You know, I know all about the Arkansas Fabulous and those kinds of things.
Did they, for instance, sing the Black National Anthem in school?
Not necessarily. I made the song when I was going to school, and nobody sings it now anymore. It's called America. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. That's what we sang most of. Salute to the flag. I'm gonna be frank with you. I guess I wasn't too patriotic. I learned the Pledge of Allegiance from my son, who went to Scottish school when he was 6 years old. He's 40 now, and I'll show you how long. I never thought about it.
You're about 9 years old. We had to learn it. And I was in like 5 months old. And then I was still during the war. Remember, it used to be like 50 years. And then when the war then changed it, it looked like a Hitler salute. You remember that?
No, I remember it said, put your hand over your heart. Ready, begin. that was funny to me. Everybody standing here looking over in this corner. And this thing ain't saying nothing back to you. It just always did look crazy to me. So I just didn't waste no time on trying to learn it.
How many grades were there in
the room? Well, you started off with something they call pre-primer. I think it's what you call now preschool. Later. Then you had the primer. Then you had the first grade. So I think primer was replaced by kindergarten. Yeah. Then you had the first, second, third grade. The school went all the way up to the eighth grade.
And all eighth grade?
Yeah.
Was it one teacher?
No. We had two teachers. And now when I was at the last school I went to, just one teacher taught everything. The name was Ruby Johnson. But, and when I went to Plum Bow School, that was the two rooms. And when you finish the fourth grade, everybody was interested in going to the other room. That's what we used to call it. We were going to pass to the other room. So we were going to come out of this room, we were going over the other room. So then you go up.
How many kids were in?
Oh my goodness. No, I really don't, but the children had lived in the community, in the neighborhood. And they had several schools, you know, around to, it really wasn't a shortage. The school, it had something to do with the geographical area, is how far it was you had to go. Some of us had to go further than others.
So about 25, 30.
Well, I think we had more than that, because you would have, I remember one of my classes, we must have had seven or eight children in this particular class, but then you also had four other things with that amount of children. I remember the last school I went to, one room school. That lady must have had about 50, 60, maybe 70 kids by herself. We used to, the kids in the higher grades, like myself, used to help her do the